Every year on Good Friday, by ancient tradition, the church reads and reflects on the Passion according to St. John. And it never ceases to amaze me how God can illumine the scriptures by the power of his Holy Spirit to make alive new aspects, new parts of the scripture that I had never noticed before. This year, in a particular way, God helped me to notice that the telling of the Passion in St. John is bookended by two gardens on either end of the story. In the very beginning, we heard that Jesus went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to where there was a garden, into which he and his disciples entered. Then, at the very ending of the story, St. John tells us that in the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, and that they put Jesus' body there because the tomb was close by. These two gardens on either end of the Passion story made me think of another garden in the scriptures, another very important garden, the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis. I think to understand the Passion story and to understand what John is telling us about the Passion story through these two gardens, we first have to go back to the first garden, to the Garden of Eden. The book of Genesis says, "The Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east, and placed there the man whom he had formed." We're told that in this garden, God gave Adam everything that he needed, everything that he needed to be happy. The plants and the foliage. He gave the animals for food. And ultimately, he gave him his wife, Eve. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve lived in perfect communion with God. They lived in a state of perfect happiness and what we call justice, being perfectly in relationship with God. We also hear in the book of Genesis that the Garden of Eden was a place of intimacy with God. That Adam and Eve would often walk with God, it says, in the cool of the evening, which displayed the very close, intimate relationship that they had with him. But if we're familiar with the story, we know what happens in that garden. That this place of perfect happiness and justice becomes a place of pride and distrust of God. It becomes a place of sin. It becomes a place of disobedience. From that garden comes the punishment of death. God tells Adam and Eve, "By the sweat of your brow, you shall eat bread until you return to the ground from which you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." So the Garden of Eden, which was created by God to be a place of happiness, becomes a place of disobedience and of death. It becomes a perversion of the intimacy that man was supposed to have with God. And so when we look to the Passion story, the story we have just heard, we will see how Jesus reverses that disobedience and death. And John plants that reversal within the gardens in the Passion story. As we heard, the story opens following the Last Supper, and Jesus and the disciples were told, go to a garden across the Kidron Valley, which was familiar to them. John tells us that this garden was a place that they had often gone to. So what is it? It's a place of intimacy. It's a place of intimacy between Jesus and his friends. The Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, record what happens in that garden in greater detail. That Jesus goes there, and before he's arrested, he prays. He prays, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. St. Luke records the intensity of the Lord's prayer in that garden. He says it was so intense that the Lord's sweat was like drops of blood falling on the ground. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is struggling. He's struggling to do the Father's will. In his human weakness, in his humanity, he must unite himself to the will of God, to do this great work which he is meant to do. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays that he can do his Father's will, that he can rely on the intimacy that he enjoys with his Father in order to reverse the disobedience of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve would not follow the will of God. Jesus in the Garden of Eden determines himself to do just that, to do the will of his Father. And then we hear how that plays out in the rest of the story, in the rest of the Passion story. How that desire, how that willingness to do the will of the Father leads to the cross, not out of punishment or sadism, but rather as Jesus walking into the very depth of our humanity, our own sinfulness. That's what that cross represents, what he did there. And then as the story concludes in St. John, we hear another garden. As the Garden of Eden contained every good thing for man, the garden of the Lord's burial will start something very new for man. The Old Testament prophets, they foresaw what would happen. We heard in the first reading today from the prophet Isaiah, the suffering servant. How can we not see Jesus reflected in that description of the suffering servant? The suffering servant of God creates something new. And we hear that that new tomb was a place where the Lord was buried. And the new tomb in the garden points us forward to the dawning of a new creation, the resurrection of Jesus. It points us towards a new intimacy that human beings will have with God. Because in the new intimacy following the resurrection, God will dwell with us. That through the power of the sacraments, we will become his sons and daughters. So that just as Adam and Eve walked in intimacy with God in the garden, God will literally walk in intimacy with us because he's alive within us, the divine life alive in our souls. That's what comes from that new garden, that new tomb in which the Lord Jesus was buried. My friends, there is a garden nearby for each of us because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Whenever we need renewal, whenever we need refreshment, whenever we need our sins forgiven, no matter how many times, we should go to that garden. We should run there, just like Peter does. We'll hear on Easter Sunday morning how Peter ran to that garden. He He ran to the tomb on that Easter morning, and there Peter found the dawning of a new creation. My friends, every time we run to the Lord, every time we run to the garden of the Lord, we find a new creation, a new life with the Lord Jesus.